I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture today comes from John 12, verses 20 through 33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what would I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. May God add his blessings to this reading.
Thank you, Jean. Appreciate the reading. I remember this as a child. Maybe you remember it as well. Starlight, star bright, first star I see tonight. I wish I may, I wish I might. Have the wish I wish tonight. You know, As I said, I remember saying that as a kid. I remember my grandmother telling me that if I would make a wish on a star, that it would come true. And I would look out, and I was probably 5, 6, I don't know. Problem is even when I think about that, I don't remember what it was that I wished for. But I do know I did that, and I thought that it was important. But regardless of age, many people around the world make wishes every day. Wishes go up that include, I wish I had a new bike. I wish my parents wouldn't beat me. I wish I had $1 million. Wishing. Lots of wishing. The Greeks came and they wished to see Jesus. But there's also the old saying, be careful what you wish for. Looking back over your life, what have you wished for, if anything? And what was your heart's desire when you made that wish? What did you really, really want when you made your wish? I'm going to tell you a story I've shared in the past, and I think it's an important story because so many of us get caught up in wishes. But this is an ancient Jewish parable, and it says a lot about people. It's called the Farmer's Three Wishes. And one night, a poor farmer was awakened by an angel of the Lord, and the angel said to the farmer, "You found favor in the eyes of your Maker. He wants to do for you what he did for your ancestor Abraham. He wants to bless you. Therefore, make any three wishes of God, and he will be pleased to give them to you. There's only one condition. Your neighbor will get a double portion of everything that is given to you." Your neighbor's going to get double whatever you ask for. The farmer was so startled by all this, he woke up his wife and told her all about it, and she immediately said, "We need to test this. We need to see if this really works." So they prayed, "Oh, blessed God, If we could just have a herd of 1,000 cattle, that would enable us to break out of the poverty in which we've lived for generations. That would be so wonderful. Well, no sooner had they said these words than they heard the sound of animal noises outside. Lo and behold, all around the house were 1,000 magnificent cattle all around their home. During the next 2 days, the farmer's feet hardly touched the ground. He divided his time between praising God for his generosity and making practical provisions for his newly found affluence. On the third afternoon, he was up on a hill behind his house trying to decide where to build a new barn. For the first time, he looked across at his neighbor's field, and there on the green hillside stood 2,000 magnificent cattle. For the first time since the angel of the Lord had appeared, his joy evaporated and a scowl of envy took its place. He went home that evening in a foul mood, refused to eat supper, and went to bed in an absolute rage. He couldn't fall asleep because every time he closed his eyes, he could see his neighbor's 2,000 cattle. Well, late in the night, he remembered the angel had said he could make 3 wishes. With that, he shifted his focus away from his neighbor and back to his own situation, and the old joy quickly returned. Digging into his own heart to find out what else he really wanted, he began to realize that in addition to some kind of material security, he had always wanted descendants to carry on his name. So he prayed a second time, saying, "Gracious God, if it please thee, give me a child that I may have descendants." And it wasn't long before that his wife came to him with the news she was bearing in her body a life not her own. The next months were passed in unbroken joy. The farmer was busy with his newly acquired affluence and looking forward to the great grace of becoming a parent. On the night his first child was born, he was absolutely overjoyed. Got his wish. He's overjoyed. The next day was the Sabbath. He went to the synagogue, and at the time of the prayers of the people, he stood up and shared the good news. To his gathered community, he said, "What good fortune I have had. Now at last had been born into their home a child." He announced this to everyone, and he had hardly sat down when his neighbor got up. "God has indeed been gracious to our little community. I had 2 sons born last night. Thanks be to God." On hearing that, the farmer went home in an utterly different mood from the one in which he came. Instead of being joyful, he was filled with jealousy. This time, the dark emotions didn't go away. Late that evening, he made his 3rd request of God, which was, "Lord, please gouge out my right eye." No sooner had he said these words than the angel who started the whole process came again. "Why, son of Abraham, have you turned to such dark desires?" With pent-up rage, the farmer replied, "I can't stand to see my neighbor prosper. I'll gladly sacrifice 1/2 my vision for the satisfaction of knowing he will never be able to look on what he has because he'll have both eyes gouged out." Those words were followed by a long silence, and as the farmer looked, he saw tears forming in the eyes of the angel. "Why, O son of Abraham, have you turned the occasion to bless into a time of hurting? Your 3rd request won't be granted. Not because the Lord lacks integrity, but because he is full of mercy. However, know this. You've brought sadness not only to yourself, but to the very heart of God." Listen to these words. "Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." If only the farmer had wished to see God, but that wasn't his wish. If we who say we are followers of Jesus would only wish to see Jesus in our lives rather than ask God to do our bidding, fulfill our wishes and desires with material things? How many of us, when we make a wish, say, "I wish to be closer to God. I wish to walk in the steps of Jesus." Or do we say, "I wish to be a millionaire. I wish to have a new car." Let us continue the text. Philip went and told Andrew, then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Now Jesus speaks of sacrifice. So you have the Greeks, and they wish to see Jesus. And when Jesus hears the news, he says, do they really? I mean, he's thinking, are they willing to make that sacrifice? At that point, not even his disciples had completely committed to making that sacrifice. So many times we want something and we don't understand the consequences of wanting it. On a winter day in 1943, 903 troops and four chaplains, including Lieutenant George Fox, boarded the SS Dorchester. World War II was in full swing and the ship was headed across the icy North Atlantic where German U-boats lurked. At 12 on the morning of February 3rd, a German torpedo ripped into the ship. "She's going down," the men cried, scrambling for lifeboats. A young GI crept up to one of the chaplains. "I've lost my jacket." "Take this," the chaplain said, handing the soldier his jacket. Before the ship sank, each chaplain gave his life jacket to another man. The heroic chaplains then linked arms and lifted their voices in prayer as the Dorchester went down. Lieutenant Fox and his fellow pastors were awarded posthumously the Distinguished Service Cross. Here's the thing, folks, and I want you to think about this text. Whether we take it that we need to make a literal sacrifice, that is, give our life, or whether it's sacrificing something else, the point is, we make sacrifices, and Jesus requires that of us. We, John says in his gospel, are those who are to make sacrifices. Is that our wish? Do we wish to make sacrifices, or do we wish to be saved from having to make any kind of sacrifice? What John is saying in his gospel is we may necessarily need to give up something we want to do for something we need to do for Christ. All three of my kids, Chad, Christina, and Seth, when they were small, I would hear them say, "Daddy, I need a new bike. I need a new toy. I need this. I need that." And the response they got, 99 times out of 100, are, "Kids, there are needs and there are wants. You want a bike. You want a new toy, but you don't need it." I think that's an important thing for us to learn, is the difference between a need and a want. Or we could say a need and a wish. In our world today, so many cannot delineate between a want and a need. Therefore, overspending has become a chronic problem. Overindulgence in food and alcohol and many other things have become the norm in our society. Sadly, when someone even mentions quitting or cutting back on any of those things, people resist and even get mad. To be excessive, generally speaking, is the way of the world. More. I want more. I want more. I read a book by the newsman Dan Rather, and he said he has a good way of keeping his professional objective always in mind. He said he looks often at a question he's written on 3 slips of paper. He keeps one in his billfold, one in his pocket, and one on his desk. The probing reminder asks, is what you are doing now helping the broadcast? Is what you are doing now helping the broadcast? I would ask all of us, is what we are doing now helping Christ? Wishes are just that, wishes. If you wish to know God, work for Christ. You must make that wish come true by acting on the wish. Remember what James said in his book, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but you do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill,' and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Wishing by itself does you no good unless you act on that wish to make it come true. Truth is, wishing is no different. Wishing is wanting. But what if you have things you need? What if there are things you need, but you're neglecting that to make wishes? Let us make our wishes come true through our works. Jesus says we must die to our wishes, to our wants, to meet needs. Do you wish to see Jesus? And if you do, do you know what that'll cost? The sacrifice involved? Because it's going to require that you do something. To stop wishing and start working. It's what it's about. And that's what Jesus tells us. Let us pray. Gracious God, as we come before you, we know all too often we make wishes of you, wishing that you would help us get a better job, wishing that you would help us have a better life or have more money. Lord, forgive us in our weakness. We know there are those out there who have needs. May we meet those needs, not only the needs of the people, but the needs of your Son, to serve others and to give of ourselves that others may live a life that you have blessed. Be with us in all of our times that we are making wishes, and show us how we can make those wishes come to works. For we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.